Yesterday, Hiraji explained the kind of puja, the kind of paying respect to the Buddha that can prolong the teaching of the Buddha. The practice of sila, samadhi and panya, morality, concentration and wisdom is the true way of doing puja to the Buddha that the Buddha deserves, and it can also prolong the teaching of the Buddha. So one should give priority, one should make the emphasis on doing puja through one's practice. And yesterday, Saraji explained, according to what the Buddha taught in Digha Nikaya Mahaparinibbana Sutta, and Saraji explained. And Saraji also explained that there are two kinds of inheriting from the Buddha, inheriting the four requisites from the Buddha, as well as the second one is inheriting the Dhamma from the Buddha. And yesterday, Saraji explained that Amisa Puja, giving respect to the Buddha with material things, cannot prolong the sasana. Even if one constructs a gigantic stupa, thousands of pagodas, thousands of monasteries, constructing of thousands of monasteries, thousands of stupas cannot prolong the teaching of the Buddha, not even a very short moment it takes to drink or it takes to eat a spoonful of rice porridge. So one should practice sila, samadhi and panya, morality, concentration and wisdom that is in accordance with the Logodara Dhamma, Supramundane knowledge, and such practice will prolong the teaching of the Buddha. So there should be Dhamma Puja, pay respect, doing puja with one's own practice of sila, samadhi, and panya. So among the two kinds of puja, the first one, Amisa Puja, doing puja with material things, should be done just moderately. But one should give priority to doing the Dhamma Puja, doing puja with one's own practice more. It is said that the practice in order to extinguish the defilements is connected with the four requisites, food, robes, dwelling place, and medicine. By practicing sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, one can extinguish gross, medium, and refined form of defilements. In the practice to extinguish gross, medium, and refined form of defilements, such practice is connected with the gaining of four requisites. So without the four requisites, it is not possible to practice sila, samadhi, and panya. But there should just be moderate amount of the four requisites. If there are more requisites than needed, then it will take time away from the practice, having to take care of these things, and it will be a waste of time taking care of these things, taking away time from the practice. Having a lot of material things, having a lot of requisites, is not the main objective. By getting a lot of four requisites is not the true way of inheriting, or it is not the true way of becoming the heir of the Dhamma from the Buddha. So there should be Dhamma Puja instead. One should have Puja with the practice of Dhamma. And one should make use of the time by practicing diligently while there is the opportunity, while the health permits, while all the circumstances are favorable. So one should practice Satipatthana meditation so that one will inherit the Dhamma, one will be the true heir who gains the Dhamma from the Buddha. In Majjhima Nikaya, Mulapanasa, in Dhammadayada Sutta, Buddha taught the following. Dhammadayada me bhikkhave bhavata ma amisa dayada. Meaning that, bhikkhu, you should inherit the true, you should be the true person inheriting the Dhamma from the Buddha. You should not be the person inheriting material things from the Buddha. So it is said that bhikkhu should be the heir of the Dhamma from the Buddha. The bhikkhus should not be heir to the material things from the Buddha. And bhikkhu, it is Buddha said that bhikkhu, I have the anukampa, appropriate excitement for these bhikkhu, having mitta, loving kindness, having great mitta, great loving kindness, wishing for the welfare of the bhikkhus, and having karuna, compassion for these bhikkhus. It is said, how can the disciple of the Buddha are the heir to the Dhamma, and how they are not the heir, or they are not the inheritor of the material things. So here the meaning is quite hidden. When the Buddha addressed as bhikkhu, it is not only to the monks that the Buddha was teaching, but it has to do with all kinds of audience. Buddha addressed as bhikkhu as the monks were at the forefront during the talk, and they were the best audience listening to the talk. It is said that the Buddha's teachings has to do with every disciple. So the teachings of the Buddha is for the male monk audience, bhikkhus, as well as the female monk, bhikkhunis, and upasaka, the lay male devotees, and upasika, the female lay devotees. And not only for the human, but also for the deities and brahmas. So these teachings are not only for the monks, but it also has to do with other disciples, lay disciples, as well as the deities and the Brahma. And the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji mentioned in the manual of Vipassana as an important chapter. Buddha had permitted the four requisites, robes, the place, dwelling place, food, and medicine. But these four requisites, they are not the best inheritance. So, but only if one, if the monk gains these four requisites, the monk will be able to practice. But these four requisites are just the minor inheritance. So it also applies to bhikkhunis as well as nowadays nuns. The disciples who are taking refuge in the triple gem, if they are just content with earning a living for themselves and for their family without practicing, will also be bad inheritance. So just by consuming material things, having fun with the worldly matters, being content with the worldly matters without practice, it is just a bad inheritance. The kind of wholesomeness that the person does, expecting the worldly pleasure, expecting good existences to come, such kind of wholesomeness, being content with the kind of wholesomeness, expecting for this material gain, it is just the fake kind of amisa dayada. It is the fake kind of inheritance. So if whether it is a monk or a lay disciple, if they are content with the ordinary wholesomeness, expecting material things or expecting good existences, they will just be fake inheritance, fake heirs of the material things. While having the opportunity to meet with the teaching of the Buddha, one should just be the true heir of the Dhamma. But if they are fake heirs to the material things, they cannot be free from the suffering. Because one has done wholesomeness in the past existence, the person come across the Buddha Sasana, the teaching of the Buddha Sasana in this life. Because one has done dana and sila, one come across the Buddha Sasana in this life. And having the chance to practice Satipatthana meditation. But if the person does dana so as to gain personal gain, or doing dana expecting personal gain, or doing dana expecting fame, then such kind of dana will not be pure. If the person observes the precepts, sila, wanting respect and honor from others as a good person, or if the person practices the sila, expecting human existence, deity existence, expecting this good existence, then such kind of sila will not be pure. Doing dana, one gain material things, one can make a good earning, good living. Practicing sila, one can get the human existence. But it is important to do dana and sila with correct aim and objective. Performing dana, one should do the dana for the benefit of others in order to make others happy and well. Practicing sila, one should practice the sila so as to keep one's physical and mental behavior to be pure, clean, cultured, as well as not hurting others. And one should also practice bhavana whenever one has opportunity. So doing dana and sila, one can be reborn as a human or deity. And being born as a deity, one just gets what one has invested. And as a deity, if the deity, the deva, is spending time with fun, wasting their time with fun, from the assistance of the deva, one can be born in the lower assistances. Having attained the supramundane knowledge, it will not be that bad. One will never be reborn in lower assistances. So the kind of wholesomeness that the person does, expecting material things, fame, or good assistances, such kind of wholesomeness will give result to good assistance. So these wholesomeness that are done with expectation of gain and fame and good assistances will lead to rebirth. Having rebirth, one will grow old. Even though one does not want to grow old, there will be illness. Even though one does not like illness, there will be death, even if one does not want to die. So rebirth leads to old age, disease, and death. So because of rebirth, there are a lot of suffering. Being reborn in good assistances, one is just getting what one has invested. So when doing business, if one only gets the amount that one has invested, it will not be good. One has to make a living for one's family, and later on, the investment money will eventually go away. And having done dana and sila, the person can be reborn as a human. And if in the next existence, if the person meet with bad parents, bad teachers, bad friends, then his or her life will be just a sham, and it will lead to lower existences, committing wrongdoings. So in order to make the profit, in order to have the profit that has assurance, in order to make the guaranteed profit, one needs to practice Satipatthana meditation to a satisfactory level. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, when the person has attained at least the first path and fruition knowledge, one will never become inferior or degraded, and one gets the best benefit. And the Buddha taught so that beings should be the true heir to the Dhamma. They should be the true inheritors of the Dhamma. While having a good opportunity, if the person fails to do the wholesomeness that can give the guarantee in life, that can have the assurance in life, such kind of person will meet with great suffering. Seeing this, Buddha had great compassion towards the beings. As a mother who is dutiful will have compassion towards sons and daughters. But as a mother who is still a worldly being, such mother will have compassion mixed with soka, sorrow. Buddha does not have any sorrow left. Buddha had great compassion towards the being that is pure, that is appropriate, not wanting the beings to suffer. So there is the appropriate kind of excitement for the beings, not wanting the beings to suffer. It is not like the compassion of a mother, but it is anukampa. Anukampa means appropriate way of excitement for the beings with compassion, not wanting beings to suffer. And Buddha had Mahakaruna, great compassion. One should not be content with inheriting Amisa material things, but one should inherit the Dhamma, the Magapala and Nibbana, path and fruition knowledge and Nibbana. Magapala and Nibbana are the true things that one can inherit in the Dhamma. Magapala and Nibbana cannot be attained without patipatti, without practice. Without practicing sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, one will not inherit the Dhamma, the Magapala and Nibbana. So for those who wants to realize Nibbana by attaining the Magapala Jnana, one should practice, one should depend on sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, and one has to practice vipassana, and one should understand that by practicing vipassana, fulfilling sila, samadhi, and panya, one will gain the Dhamma, one will inherit the true Dhamma. The kind of dana and sila that are done aiming for Nibbana is not the true things that one should inherit. They are the fake, because through these dana and sila, one can gain the Magapala, path and fruition, in the next existence. But one should have both the things that are true inherit and as well as the fake inherit. Among these two things, the true inheritance is the Magapala and Nibbana, path and fruition and Nibbana. So in this life, one should practice sila, samadhi, and panya. By practicing sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, one can attain Magapala and Nibbana, which is the true inheritance. In order to attain Magapala and Nibbana, the proximate cause is the Satipatthana practice. By practicing Satipatthana, by fulfilling Satipatthana, one also develops sila, samadhi, and panya. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one attains sila, samadhi, and panya. One fulfills sila, samadhi, and panya, and one will truly inherit Nibbana. One will surely inherit Nibbana by the practice of sila, samadhi, and panya. And by attaining Nibbana, one will become a true dayada. One will be a true person who inherits the Dhamma. Buddha wanted beings to practice in order to attain Maggapala and Nibbana. Buddha wanted the beings to practice in order to attain path and fruition knowledge to realize Nibbana. And Saraji will explain briefly. During the Buddha's time, there was a monk called the Venerable Putila, who spent most of his time with the learning of scriptures. And Saraji will explain how he was taught. Venerable Putila was the teacher of 16 groups of students. And every day, Venerable Putila gave classes 16 times a day. And Venerable Putila spent his time teaching the scriptures, giving Dharma talk. And Buddha told the Venerable Putila, teaching the scriptures alone is not the essence of the teachings. So teaching the scriptures alone is not the true essence. You should practice in order to gain the essence, the true essence. So the Venerable Putila gave up teaching in order to practice. And when he had to ask the method instruction how to practice, because Venerable Putila had some pride that he was skillful in the scriptures, the head of the monk did not give him instruction, so he had to ask the second head of the monks. And finally, he ended up with a seven-year-old samanera, seven-year-old novice who was an arahat. So Venerable Putila asked for meditation instruction from the seven-year-old novice who was an arahat. So he removed his pride, wanting to attain the super mundane knowledge in this very life, and asked the instruction from the seven-year-old samanera with the hands together, bowing to the samanera for instruction. And the seven-year-old samanera gave the instruction. Venerable Putila practiced according to the instruction given by the samanera and became an arahat, totally free from the defilements, within a short time. So one has to understand that even the ones who are well versed in the scriptures who did not practice, Buddha used the word docha. Docha means useless. So in order to teach the Venerable Putila, who was well versed in the scriptures, not practicing meditation, Buddha used this tough word, tocha, useless, in order to teach him that he should practice. Buddha had great intention for the beings, and Buddha's wishes are so great and so high. Buddha will not be satisfied if a person practices only until attaining the first path and fruition knowledge. Buddha can only be satisfied if the person become an arahat, totally free from all the defilements. So only if the person becomes an arahat, Buddha will be satisfied. So in Dhammapada, Buddha taught a verse that is very noteworthy. It starts with na silabada madena bahusajena va pana. So the verse, the beginning of the verse was na silabada madena bahusajena va pana. And it is very noteworthy. Buddha said, Bhikkhu, without becoming an arahat, do not just be satisfied with the purification of sila morality. Do not just be satisfied with dudanga, austerity practices, without becoming an arahat. Do not feel satisfied with sila dudanga. Sila means the morality, the precepts, refraining from things that should be refrained from. The rule of conduct for monks, disciplinary code for monks. So practicing sila alone is not enough. Dudanga are the austerity practices. There is no harm if one cannot practice, but if one can practice, it is beneficial. So one should not be just satisfied with observing sila and dudanga. Bahusa chena vapana, one should not just be satisfied by being able to recite the Pitaka, to have memorized the Pitaka, being able to teach the Pitaka. One should not just be satisfied with being well-versed, being able to teach the Pitaka. Atava samadhi labena, do not just be satisfied, do not just be content with gaining the jhana attainments, the eight kind of jhana attainments. So if the people are pursuing the practice in order to gain such jhana attainments, they will be spending much of their time. And Buddha did not want this to happen. And you can imagine how great the Buddha's intention was. Viveta sayanena va, one should not just be content, satisfied with staying in a secluded place, in a forest, and so on. One should not just be content with that. The kind of nikamasukha, the happiness of renunciation, that is beyond the reach of putojana, the worldly beings who have thick layers of defilements. Even having the anagami phala samapatti, the absorption of the anagami fruition consciousness. So one should not just be content with having attained the anagami fruition knowledge. Having attained anagami fruition knowledge, there is only one stage to be practiced in order to become an arahat. Even so, one should not be content by having attained the anagami phala sampatti. This teaching was given to monks, especially the monks who were pure in their sila. This admonition was given so that some of the monks who had purified sila, they thought that having pure sila, they can become arahat in no time. So they should not be thinking like that. They should not be content with the pure sila, thinking that it will lead them to arahatship within a short time by practicing. And also some of the monks, they were well versed in the teachings, so they should not just be content that they are well versed in the teaching, that they can attain arahatship in no time. And also there are monks who have attained the mundane absorptions, and they should not be content with these absorptions. Some monks, they dwell in a place, secluded place, a forest where it is far from town. So they should not be thinking that I'm staying in a forest place in seclusion, far from town, I can just become an arahat very easily. So such kind of thinking is not right. So after one has become an anagami, once returner, even after attaining the path and fruition knowledge of anagami, the third stage, one should not be satisfied thinking that there is only one stage left. I can become an arahat within a short while. So one should not just be content with these sila or with their attainments. They should not be content with these and one should strive on to practice in order to become an arahat. Only after one has become an arahat, one can feel assured and content. Buddha wanted beings to practice till they become arahats. So one should practice diligently, continuously, without stopping, till they become arahat. So Buddha had this great intention for the beings. So according to the teaching of the Buddha, the Vipassana practice is the best among all the matters, and Vipassana practice can give most benefits, and Vipassana practice can uplift the person. By practicing Vipassana, one is doing the best puja. One is honoring, respecting the Buddha in the best way by the practice of Vipassana. And by practicing Vipassana, one is a true Dhamma Dayada. One is the person who truly inherits the true inheritance, the highest inheritance. And by practicing Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, one is said to be following the teachings of the Buddha. While one is practicing Vipassana meditation intensively, continuously, one should give priority to the Vipassana practice. One should be practicing Vipassana every single second without missing, without failing. During the intensive Vipassana practice, it is not necessary to do any other wholesomeness that gives less benefit. For the yogis who are practicing Satipatthana meditation in order to attain the super mundane knowledge, even today or the next day, they should give priority to the Vipassana practice. And in between the practice, when vitaka, when various kinds of thoughts arise, one should know how to suppress and how to calm these thoughts. And Sadhguru will explain as much time he has, as much time that permits. And Sadhguru explains his intention. Sadhguru's intentions are not as great as Buddha, but Sadhguru's intentions comply with the intention of the Venerable Sariputta. So as a disciple, whether monk or lay disciple, Sadhguru will be satisfied if they practice Satipatthana meditation satisfactorily, at least till they become a Sotapanna. So Sadhguru will be satisfied when the disciples practice Satipatthana meditation at least to the stage of becoming a Sotapanna. And becoming a Sotapanna, it will be worthy of becoming a human being in this Buddha Sasana, totally being totally free from the lower assistances. And the person's Dhamma path will be straight and smooth, being a Sotapanna. So Sadhguru hopes that the disciples can practice Satipatthana meditation at least till they become a Sotapanna in this very life. And Saraji had finished explaining Nayana, deliverance, and Avarana, the obstacles, as taught by the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji. And later on, Saraji will explain how the Vitaka thoughts should be suppressed, and Saraji will explain them briefly. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.